none of them came from a tech background. And that was really, really intentional because I am so passionate about breaking down the barriers and showcasing that you do not need to have 10 years as a software engineer. You do not need to be an epic coder to step into technology. Every single one of us has got transferable skills. And where AI is going, that's going to be able to do so much of the grunt work and the technical work, it's our human skills, our problem-solving ability, our creative and critical thinking, the way we empathize with others, the way we communicate. These are the skills that are going to be needed more and more and more. And the three of them were prime examples of this. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Now, I'm recording this episode on Sunday afternoon after really spending a couple of days reflecting on Thursday night. Now, for those of you who don't know, myself and Pam hosted our 8th Sisterhood Social event in Melbourne. And this event was the busiest, biggest event to date. And I wanted to record this podcast today because I think it's really, really important to give a bit of a backstory, because what I never want to do is somebody just to enter a room like they would have on Thursday, looked around and thought, oh, this is great. You know, how are you doing this? How are you running these events? And without really, I guess, painting the picture of what it took to get to that point. Because I think it's really easy to focus on the tip of the iceberg when we think about success and outcomes. But what often doesn't get spoken about enough is what it actually takes to get to the tip of the iceberg. And I don't even feel like I'm at the tip of the iceberg with Sisterhood Socials, to be honest. I feel like we're still at the beginning. But I think it's really important just to pause and reflect on actually how far we've come. So before I go into these five lessons and the backstory, and there's definitely some funny moments, which I will share with you today, that got us to this point, I just want to just take a moment to thank every single person who did attend the event, and the energy you brought into the room was phenomenal. I also want to take a moment to thank Lou, Akanksha and Chess for just sharing so much knowledge and wisdom with us all. I honestly wish I could have taken notes when I was on the panel, because what they said was incredible, and I'm going to share a few takeaways in a moment. I also just want to thank our partners, UniSuper, 7-Eleven, Serve, and all of our incredible recruitment partners at CH Solutions, because part of the reason why our events have been able to get bigger, get bolder, attract more people is because we've been able to, I guess, pour more resources and more leverage into the events to make them even more impactful. And we couldn't do that without our partners. So thank you so much for every one of you. And I know there's a lot of the partners that listen to this. So it is really, really appreciated. But reflecting on Thursday night, and it was definitely one of my, they're all amazing, but it was one of my favorites for a number of reasons, because it really did feel like we were at a bit of a turning point. And what I mean by that is that this was probably the first event that we ran where I felt like I wasn't scrambling at the end of it to maybe sell tickets or get people to come. You know, like it actually sold out very organically, very, very quickly. And I think that's a sign of that's what happens when you continue to show up, you build trust and you build consistency, which is what I'm going to go on to talk about. And arriving on the night, I just felt this sense of calm. I think because I had now done, this is our 8th event, I knew what to expect. I knew how I wanted the event to run. And I just felt very much, I guess, in control. And for me, being a bit of a control freak of what was going on, what needed to happen. And there's always something that happens on the night, right? Like there's always something that happens. As an example, both Chess and Akanksha were running slightly late. So I got a call to say that they were 50 minutes behind schedule. Now, in the past, I would have literally lost my mind about that because I would have gone like, oh my God, this means that everything's going to be thrown out. And on that night, I just thought, not a problem. It doesn't matter. Make sure everyone's got another drink. Make sure some canapes are coming out. I spoke to the bartender and I just said, listen, don't stop the flow of drinks. Don't stop the canapes. We're going to delay the panel tonight by about 10, 15 minutes. So just keep the drinks flowing. But because I've been through it now so many times, these moments when they came up, they didn't make me, I guess, spiral or threw me into survival. I just kept very calm and I was like, it's all good. It doesn't matter if the panel starts 10 to 15 minutes later than scheduled, we'll roll with it. And it's that whole, I guess, sort of like trusting yourself, backing yourself and having the evidence that it doesn't matter what happens, you know you're going to host a great event, you know that people are going to get something from the panel. So that was one thing that happened. The other thing that happened was we were in a slightly different part of the hotel where we run the event, and there was no signs to say where people should go. So I literally got there and there was another event going on. I thought, oh my God, this is so confusing for people. They're going to come up the stairs into someone else's event. So just knowing how to handle these situations, whereas before at the beginning, this would have definitely thrown me into a state of survival. So that's the reason why I think this event in particular felt really good, because I was in a sense, or I was in a place of calm. I knew that nothing on the night is ever just going to run completely smoothly, that there's always going to be a couple little things, a couple little niggles that come up, and how I respond to them is what matters the most. But it was an amazing event, and hats off to the panel, Lou, Akanksha and Chess. You were all amazing. If you listen to this right now, say thank you. And I know that so many people got so much from it. So as I mentioned, we are going to upload the full conversation onto the podcast, and this will come out in a couple of weeks' time. So I'm not going to go into the ins and outs today of what was discussed, because I want you to really listen to that when that comes out. But a few sort of key takeaways that I will share with you from the panel was that none of them came from a technology background, and they are all now extremely high up in their careers. They're doing incredible things. Lou's like head of AI at Datacom at the moment. Chess is working at Microsoft, and she's one of like the key account managers for Coles. So she's got a massive role within that business. And Akanksha has had her own business for a number of years, and has also, as well as consulting into really large organizations, helping them implement AI, she's also founded Women Coders because she's super passionate about getting more females into tech. So the three of them had all achieved so much in their careers and were very much in technology, but none of them came from a tech background. And that was really, really intentional, because I am so passionate about breaking down the barriers and showcasing that you do not need to have 10 years as a software engineer. You do not need to be, an epic coder to step into technology. Every single one of us has got transferable skills, and where AI is going, that's going to be able to do so much of the grunt work and the technical work. It's our human skills, our problem-solving ability, our creative and critical thinking, the way we empathize with others, the way we communicate. These are the skills that are going to be needed more and more and more. And the three of them were prime examples of this. So that was such a big moment for me when I was hearing their stories. I was like, again, none of them come from that tech background. The second point, the key, and this is a key takeaway, and I knew this was going to come up, is that we all need to be adopting AI into our working lives. And they were all incredibly passionate about this. They were like, get curious, use the tech, use Copilot, use ChatGPT, experiment with Claude. But we do not and cannot just be thinking that this doesn't apply to us, because it does. Every single person now needs to understand how AI can impact their job and how it can be used as an advantage to get ahead. So that was such a big point that kept on being made over and over again. And I know I've repeated this on the podcast multiple times, but it's really important when you hear it from others who are working in this industry. Another key takeaway was that great leaders are needed now more than ever. And Chess said something that really stuck with me because I said, you know, what is the number one skill that all leaders need to be adopting right now? And she said, every single leader needs to make sure that they are being transparent, that every single person within a business knows where they stand, knows that they are safe, knows that this is what you need to do in order to keep on reskilling, upskilling, and continue to develop your career. But that transparency was a really, really key word that has just stuck with me. Another word, obviously, that keeps on coming up when it comes to leadership is empathy. Like really seeking to understand from someone else's viewpoint. This is incredibly, incredibly important. You know, you're going to get so many different people who are, some are going to be early adopters, some are going to be more fearful. And it's really seeking to understand, not just forming an opinion or judging others. It's trying to come from that place of compassion, understanding, and really applying empathy to these situations. That is definitely a skill that every single leader needs as we move into this new world. And the final thing that I would just say, which is just a reminder for us all, is that none of them felt ready to step up into the roles that they're in now. They all experienced imposter syndrome. They all experienced self-doubt. This isn't something that is immune to some. And, you know I've had it in my career, but this is just such an important point to keep on enforcing that we are all going to experience fear. And normally fear is going to come up when we are pushing ourselves to do something that scares us a bit. And that is such a big takeaway for me, because if we live our lives trying to avoid things that scare us, we're going to end up living very mediocre, average lives. When we push ourselves to do something outside of our comfort zone, when we feel the fear and we go for it anyway, that's where the magic happens. That's where the growth lives, and that's where the opportunities come from. So that was a really big key takeaway for me and a reminder to us all that we need to act despite how we feel, and we do need to go for it now. Like, this is really important. Like, the opportunities that are going to come are going to be absolutely huge. We just need to back ourselves and take them. So they were my takeaways, and I'm sure as the week unfolds, more things will come to me, but they were sort of the key things that I've been really reflecting on over the weekend. But now I want to move on to talk to you about my 5 lessons from launching Sisterhood Socials, because beautifully and gratefully, and thank you, I had some really, really lovely comments about the event and what we were doing. And like I said at the start, I never want people to come to these events and think, oh, you know, this is great, and or feel like if they want to do something similar, like start a meetup or do anything that they feel would have impact in the world, that they've got to start the way, you know, I guess we run the events now, because you don't. Like, everyone's got to start from somewhere. And the events, trust me, did not start how Sisterhood Social was ran last night. So I'll take you way back to, I guess, the start of how the first Sisterhood Social came to be. So look, I've been to a number of events over the course of my career, especially when I think of tech events. I was very used to being one of the only females rocking up, having a beer and a slice of pizza. And I was just like, no, this is just not what I want to create. I really wanted to create a space where women and our male allies could all come together in one room and feel safe, feel seen, feel heard, and get value from the event. I also really wanted to shine a spotlight on what it actually looks like to be a female leader in tech, because I'm a big believer of we can't be what we can't see. And as Akanksha also shared on the panel on Thursday night, that women are leaving the technology industry. We actually don't have a big pipeline problem now. We are actually getting more girls, young girls, into tech. It's just they're not staying in tech. And I think part of that problem is because we don't have enough role models in leadership roles right now. So this is a big thing that I kept on coming back to, is like, how can I make sure that if there's a woman in technology or a woman wanting to get into technology, she has a clear career path. She can look to somebody and go, well, if she can do it, so can I, because she is no different than me. That is something I wanted every single person that came to the event to feel, that nothing was out of reach, that if they wanted to achieve something, they could. So that was really, really important for me. So I guess the key thing there is that it did all start with a why. And that's probably lesson number one. If you don't have a clear why of why you want to do something, what your mission is, and you're not grounded and anchored in that, when stuff gets hard, and it will, you will end up giving up. And I've been here so many times before when I've started things. I just wasn't invested enough in the why I wanted to do something. And I think from my own experience, the why has to be bigger than just you. This is really, really key and something I really reflect on often. Anytime I've done something that's going to benefit just me, the slightest bit of discomfort, challenge, it's so easy just to go, oh, well, I can't be bothered anymore. Whereas when I am anchored in my why and it's attached to a mission, a purpose, something I want to give to the world, it drives and motivates me more. I just keep going. I'm so focused. I'm so energized no matter what's going on. So that's, I guess, how Sister Hood Socials were started, with a real, I guess, mission and passion to make sure that I was running events and spaces where everyone could come together, obviously mostly women, and be inspired by other women and build that sense of community. So that is a really, really key point in when you want to start anything, whether you want to start running your own event, whether you want to transition into tech, whether you want to start your own business one day, you need to understand why you're doing it. So that's really, really key. So that was the key thing of how it started, because now I'll go on to say is that if I didn't have that why, it would have been very, very easy to give up. So the first time we ever thought about running the event, I was just thinking this was just going to be such an exciting experience, and it was going to be, I mean, how hard could it be to run an event? And it all started with, I guess, sort of this idea. And I started reaching out to a few event spaces. And then Pam and I went in to Melbourne CBD one afternoon to have a look at these spaces. And I can honestly tell you that some of the spaces that we saw were just dingy nightclubs. I was like, no, this is just not the vibe. Then we went to see one event that actually we now host the event in. And it just looked ginormous. And I thought, no, I cannot start the Sisterhood Socials in this big event space thinking that what if only 20 people turn up and there's loads of empty seats. So I thought, I've got to start in a small but intimate and well-presented, nice-vibed event venue. So that was kind of what I was looking for. So the first Sisterhood Social we hosted in a lovely building. The capacity was about 60 people. So it felt big enough to still grow within, but not too big that it felt overwhelming. And the first Sisterhood Social, honestly, when we posted the event, I thought that, people are just going to want to come to that. It's going to be great. Well, was I wrong? What I didn't take into consideration, this is going back now 2 and a bit years ago, we'd not long come out of something called COVID, not even going to go there, but so many of us were out of practice when it came to being around other people, when it came to networking, and some people were really, really nervous about being in large crowds. So actually, having an event space that held 60 people was a stretch, and I quickly realized that I was going to have to hustle and message people one-to-one and just try and get people to come to the event, giving out a load of free tickets. So just like, I just thought all I've got to do is just make sure I get as many people there as possible. One, because I want them to come and listen to the amazing speakers that we managed to get. Thank you so much for the first three people that said yes, Lisa, Liza, and Catherine. Thank you. but also because I just didn't want to have the first event massively fail and have about five people in the room and a great panel speaking to five people. So the first event was a real eye-opening experience. I remember posting about it, like I said, and thinking, yeah, we're going to probably sell 20 tickets within 24 hours. On the way back from the city one day, after having a day of meetings, I called Kyle to find out how many tickets we'd sold in our first event, and we'd sold three tickets. And it was 3 weeks to go until the event started. So as you can imagine, Pam and I went into absolutely pure survival mode, but also then problem solving mode, and literally had to message every single person one-to-one, offering free tickets, calling around our clients just to get the room full of 50 people. So that is honestly how it started. And then the second event wasn't much easier, to be honest. We still had to really push the event. We still had to message people one-to-one. We had to send out a ton of emails, do a load of email marketing. I had to pick up the phone and call loads of people. Like, again, it was like just making people aware of what we were doing, our mission, what we were trying to achieve. Third event, still slightly challenging to get 50 people in a room, but it was becoming a little bit easier. Fourth event, again, still challenging, but starting to see a little bit more progression now, starting to build a bit more trust in the marketplace. Fifth, sixth, really starting to fill the room with 60 people. Seventh, we decided to stretch ourselves and go into the current event space that we have now in the Regis, which can hold up to 150 people. So that's when I think we really hit a bit of a turning point. But before we went into that big event space, we had held six events in the smaller networking venue space. And I think that this is just so important to just rewind, because when people came to the event on Thursday, it did feel big, it did feel busy, it did feel buzzy. But that wasn't always the case. And it wasn't certainly where we started. And we really, really had to work incredibly hard to fill a room of 50 people. And this event just gone, I'll be honest, I don't even feel like I really had to try. But my point being is that nothing worth doing comes easy. And you have to be prepared to go through what I like to call the messy middle. And this is where you have an idea. So taking this as, you know, the Sisters Socials as an example here, I had an idea I wanted to run networking events for women. And I had an idea that I wanted to put women on stages and give them the voice and the platform to share their stories. That was the idea. And the why obviously was because I wanted to have impact and showcase what a career in tech can look like and break down those barriers. But to get to then the end result, which is sold out events, building a brand, building a community, building trust in the marketplace, I had to go through 2.5 years of, again, the messy middle, where I was constantly having to push myself out of my comfort zone, where I was constantly having to stretch myself, where I was constantly learning and growing and adapting and thinking, what could we do better? And how can we make this event even more appealing to more people? How can we make sure everyone feels included, not just our sisters, but also our big brothers as well? How can we make sure that these events are inclusive for everyone, no matter what background you come from? And it's been a real journey. But I think that so many people, and I have done this in the past myself, when things do get messy, when things do get hard, they give up. And what you end up missing out on is what I felt on Thursday, which was this sense of, we're doing it. We've come so far. And it was such a moment, because I know how hard and how much work has gone into getting to that end result. And it's not even the end result. Obviously, like I said, I've still got a long way to go with Sisterhood Socials, but it was a moment that I felt, wow, look how far we've come. So it's such an important lesson, I think, that anytime we try and do something new, it's going to feel difficult and it's going to feel messy and it's going to feel uncertain. It's going to be very unknown, but it's also where so much growth comes from. So if you have a goal, if you have a dream, if you want to do something, understand that it's not going to be smooth sailing. Understand that you're going to have to work hard. Understand that you're going to come up against yourself in these moments. But I also look back at the starts of us running these events, and they are such amazing memories and fond memories. Like when me and Pam were staying up late, like the last week, just like putting in some messages, putting in some calls, trying to sell the final few tickets just to make the room feel busy. It's like, I look back on those moments now and they are moments that I feel incredibly proud of, but also bring me so much joy when I think back. I think back to the time when we launched the event and we only sold 3 tickets in the first week. And I'm like, oh my God, we have come so far since then. But again, it didn't just happen. And imagine if I had done the first event, it had been challenging and I'd really had to work hard. And I thought, you know what, that was great, but it was far too much work. I'm going to stop. Again, anything worth doing, you have to go through the pain. You have to go through the struggle. You have to go through the lessons. And imagine if I hadn't continued to do it, Thursday night would never have happened. And I know that that would have been such a loss, because so many women that come to these events make amazing friendships. They go on to get jobs. They go on to really, excel in their careers. And they go on to feel like they're part of a community and part of something that's bigger than just their day-to-day job or their industry. So I think it's just really, really an important lesson to know that we need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. We need to get comfortable in the messy middle. And we need to understand that anything worth pursuing is going to have its challenges. And it certainly has. And that's why I said at the start, I don't want anyone to come to these events moving forward and think that it's just happened, because there has been so much work that's gone into it and it has been worth it, but it hasn't been easy. The second lesson that I can share with you from my journey so far is that action is definitely the antidote to fear. And I think that this is something that I can relate to everything throughout my life, of that any time that I have felt fear or uncertainty or that little bit of like a knot in my stomach, I almost now see it as a sign of like, I've got to do this, because this is what's going to challenge me. This is what's going to make me better. So I think that for me now, when I have an idea, instead of going down to the worst case scenario, focusing on all things that could go wrong, like, oh, what if no one turns up to the event? And what if it's just an empty room, or whatever the thoughts are going to be, you're going to think them regardless. So write them out and see them for what they are, thoughts, not facts. But it's also understanding that the other side of fear is where the growth and the opportunity lies. So we need to learn to act despite how we feel. We need to understand that anytime fear comes up, don't see it as a red flag. See it as a signal that you are about to step into something that is going to be so full of growth and opportunity, but also challenge. So I think that if you have an idea, you need to act right there and then. Don't delay it, because the longer you take to think about something, the more you'll put it off, the more you'll procrastinate. And then one day you'll wake up and you'll just go, oh, I wish I'd just done that thing. So just act, just do. If you have an idea, register the business. If you decide that you want to pivot careers, enroll in the AI course. Take action as soon as you have the idea, because if you let fear sink in, that will stop you from taking the first step. So that is a really, really big lesson for me, and that I want to share with you, is that action is the antidote of fear. And the more you act, the more momentum you build. And then all of a sudden, like, you just feel this sense of like calm and clarity, because you're taking the right inspired action. The fourth lesson for me, this has probably been a big one, definitely a big one throughout my life, is that you're never going to get anything perfect in the beginning, right? So it's like, you've got to understand that nothing when you start anything new is going to run smoothly. You've almost got to be prepared to suck and not be good at something. And I think for a perfectionist or somebody like myself who's got very high standards of herself and her business and everything, you know, everything I do, I want to do to the absolute best of my ability. And this has been a bit of a journey for me, because when I did start the Sisterhood Socials, I, at the time of my career, was very, I guess, well-versed in recruitment. I could recruit standing on my head, like I knew it inside out, and I was very comfortable with recruitment. So this was all brand new, and I tried to control everything. I tried to make these events, so it's got to be perfect, it's got to be amazing, got to do this, got to do this. And I soon learned that actually it doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to, I guess, just, we just got to start. We just got to do. We've just got to understand that for me, for example, I hadn't run an event before, and the first venue, it was fantastic. It was great, but it wasn't perfect. And the first ticket sales were slow, and it definitely was a journey. But had I had waited for the perfect time or the perfect plan or the perfect venue or any of that, we never would have got started. So I think that's a really, really key thing, is you just need the courage to start. You just need to almost look back and go, well, hang on, I've figured out a lot of other things in my life before. I'm going to come up against myself. I'm going to go through some uncertainty. I'm going to go through the messy middle. But also, I got to understand that there's never going to be a perfect time or a perfect plan, and that's okay. And as long as I learn along the way, then there's no such thing as a failure. So that's a really, really big lesson for me. Nothing's going to be perfect. If you want to start a podcast, it's not going to be perfect. If you want to transition careers, it's not going to be perfect, right? So for the perfectionists out there, you have to understand that you might need to go through a bit of a transition and a bit of a journey into learning how to surrender, learning how to let go of control, and understanding that it's the progress that you have to focus on, not the perfection. Big lesson for me in that. So I guess that is some really key lessons, but one thing that I am incredibly proud of, as I reflect, is that I just love seeing women connecting, building relationships, feeling like technology is not something to be afraid of, being able to see themselves in senior roles, in leaderships. And I just think that everything starts with a first step and a thought and an idea. And I want to see more women, especially, backing themselves. I want to see more women starting businesses, side hustles, events, whatever you want to do. I don't want to see women held back by fear or imposter syndrome or not thinking that they're good enough or who am I to start this? I think that every single person has got a gift to give the world. And I think the biggest gift that you can give yourself is to lean into that self-trust. Because the version of you that you want to become is never going to be, I guess, given the opportunity to flourish if you stay comfortable. And this has really been a massive lesson in my life, that any time I've taken a risk or any time I've leaned in to do something that scares me, it has always, whether it's gone to plan or not, it's always still pushed me forward in the right direction. And I just think that's such a important reminder for us all. And I am proud of what we're doing with Sisterhood Social. And like I said to you, it has been a lot of work to get to this point. And it would have been easier not to do it. And it would have been a lot less work. But I am incredibly, incredibly pleased that I did start. And I couldn't have done it without the help of Pam, and I couldn't have done it without the help of my husband, and I couldn't have done it without the partners, and I couldn't have done it without the support of our recruitment clients, and I couldn't have done it without the support of every single woman that said yes to being on the panel, and I couldn't have done it without everyone that decided to show up not knowing what to expect. So I think it's important to acknowledge that there's no such thing as, a self-made anyone. You've always got to go on the journey with people. And I think that's also really important, to surround yourself with people who share your vision, share your mission, and also want to do good in the world as well. So that is today's episode, my sort of five big lessons from launching the Sisterhood Socials. And I really hope that it just inspires you to act before you feel ready, to understand that nothing worth pursuing is going to be easy. It's going to be messy. It's going to be uncertain. It's going to be challenging. It's going to come up. You're going to come up against yourself over and over again. You don't need to have a perfect plan, but you do need to understand why you want to do something, why you want to start something. And it has to be bigger than just you, or I want to make money from this, or, you know, I want to do this because I want to be known. Like, that's the wrong reason to do anything. I think it's got to come from a place of authenticity and those right intentions, because people can feel that. People can feel when it's not authentic. People can feel when it's a bit, well, this doesn't feel right. And I don't think we would have been able to grow the events had we had done it in that energy. So I think that's really, really key as well. But thank you for everyone that came to the event. And for those of you that can't make the events because you're overseas, everything that we discuss on the panel is going to be uploaded onto this podcast in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. That is an absolute must listen. So many gold nuggets in that panel. But I just want to say a huge thank you from the bottom of my heart for everyone that continues to support this podcast. If you want to do one thing for me today, just like or subscribe to this podcast, because that's what's going to help it grow. That's what's going to help impact more people and get the message out there. So thank you so much for tuning in today. And I look forward to speaking to you again very soon. Have a great week and see you soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you. Thank you.